of heights to the depths of the sea.
But notice what Jesus says in the Beatitudes. Remember when we are in Matthew chapter 5? He says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember, notice that your brother has something against you. Notice who he says to initiate it, not the offender, but the offended, the one who has been offended. You go and tell them what they did.
Every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. We can say that Jesus gives us two options when your brother sins against you. You can go to him directly and deal with it, or you can drop the matter under Christian long-suffering and bearing with one another. Other options, such as holding on to bitterness, retaliation, gossiping to others about the problem, are not allowed. Jesus tells us, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now let's listen to Pastor Rob as he continues in chapter 18 of Matthew's Gospel.
You speak to other people and maybe offend them or sin against them, and it happens all the time, and I do it all the time. But as I've been reading this week, it's really been challenging me. Rob, be careful of the words that you use. You sin against somebody every single day. You offend somebody every single day. And I'm like, you know, if I can mitigate that somehow, perhaps altogether or to a great extent. Because, I mean, does anybody in this room really want to hurt somebody? Does anybody here really want to sin against somebody? We would all say no. But our carelessness, sometimes the things that we say and do, and even the sin of gossip. In 1 Timothy, it tells us, but refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to show to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. But then he goes in, and he says, besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things what they ought not to, not putting a gate at their mouth and their heart. And they hurt people. And this is what we need to be careful of. Gossiping. In the church, it's torn many churches apart, gossip. Don't gossip. Back in World War II, there was a poster that was put into many of the bars by Canadian Seagram distillers. And it was... this, it's called Loose Lips Might Sink Ships, where we get the term loose lips sink ships. And the idea behind this is, as sailors were going into these bars, they were talking, getting a little tipsy with the alcohol, and then they would start to talk about the war. And there's other people in that room that are getting that information back to the enemy. And so they began to put these posters in all the bars and around World War II to warn the servicemen to keep your mouth shut, because the things that you say are going to hinder our efforts, right? Loose lips sink ships, literally. And it's really the same for us today. We can hurt one another, and the tongue is one of the greatest destroyers in the world. David said, or the psalmist said in Psalm 141, says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to an evil thing, to practice wicked works, which men who work iniquity. Psalm 39. I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence, and I held my peace from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. And Micah says, do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth. And from her who lies in your bosom, for son dishonors father, and daughter rises against her mother. And I believe the tongue, the mouth, is the thing most often than not that we use to hurt one another. That's how we sin against one another. There are many other things too, but I think that's the easiest one. Because from the, what does the Bible tell us? From the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Notice that. Out of the abundance of the heart, it's almost like the heart is so filled with anger and rage against a person, a thing, whatever it is, and it can't help but express itself. You spend an hour with anybody, and in that hour, you're going to find out what's really motivating them, what is really on their heart. You're going to find out who they are and really what their bone of contention with anything is, because they can't help it. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. It's almost like a vomit. I hate to say it. Sorry if you had breakfast before you came, but we're having lunch soon. That'll be nice. But anyway, but it's like this. It's just like a regurgitation. It just can't help but come out. And maybe you've been around people like that. But notice what Jesus says in the Beatitudes. Remember when we are in Matthew chapter 5? He says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember, notice that your brother has something against you. Notice who he says to initiate it. Not the offender, but the offended, the one who has been offended. You go and tell them what they did. And why is that? Because we've been looking at that. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe they did know. Maybe it was purposeful. But you, believer, go. And you tell them their fault, because if you win them, if they say to you, you know what, I had no idea, but you know what, I am so sorry, please forgive me, then you've won your brother. Then this nasty thing between you has been resolved, and now you can start talking with each other again. And the relationship is healed, right? What a wonderful thing that is. Isn't it beautiful? There's nothing greater on earth than to see people who are at enmity with one another now are in agreement and they love each other. And they grow in that. There's nothing more satisfying to see in the world. It's nothing more satisfying to see in the church when people get it right. Instead of talking behind each other's backs, they talk about it. They get out their grievances and do that. Because miscommunications happen all the time, and sometimes there's reasons for those miscommunications. We don't know all the information. Maybe you didn't do something because something else happened that required you to leave quickly and you weren't able to talk about it. But you, in your mind, thinking, oh man, they're just... happens. It happens. But if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, then leave your gift there and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Notice again in this passage in Matthew that the impetus is on the one who was offended. And again, it's always good for the offender to initiate it, but much of the time you have to. The offended one has to initiate that. And how many family and close friendships and family relationships are represented here today where that is the case? I'd be willing to say all of us. Because I'm looking out at you, and I know what I'm telling you right now is either comforting you or is convicting you. And it's not me, it's the Word of God. And there ought to be conviction, because I need to rethink the way I do things. How many of us have had a close friend or a family member and we're holding a grudge against them for 20 years? Something they said back at a family gathering 20 years ago, I remember, and I never forget Aunt Batilda for that. In fact, I've never sent her a birthday card either. I spite her. She hurt me. Never forgive her for that. Right? And people do it. And then as Christians, we veil it behind some kind of false spirituality. Well, when the Lord's ready, he'll minister to their hearts. It's like, nice try, buddy, but the Lord tells you to go. And isn't it true that some people don't even know that they may appear a certain way and they don't even realize they're doing it? Sometimes it's good to tell them. You know, I don't know if you know this, but you're repelling everybody around you. You're like a porcupine. I mean, I wouldn't say this, but there are people like that, right? They're like porcupines. You try to get close to them, and man, you're getting quills shot at you from every direction, and you're like, somebody needs to tell that person that they're just nasty. And sometimes you have to do it. Just say, hey, what's wrong? You know, this happened, and then I saw this, and there's something going on here. There's something I can pray for you about, something I can help you with. Did I do something? And they need to grow in that too. They need to learn that they're coming off that way. Does that make sense? So maybe you'll be reconciled to the person, but you're also teaching them something about themselves that nobody's had the guts to tell them about. And they continue propagating this nasty character, and no one's ever challenged them about it. No one had loved them enough to say, hey, do you know that you oppose yourself and everything you say and you do? I mean, there's a way you can do that, but pray first. Pray that God gives you a heart of love and compassion for them, because if you have the love and compassion for someone, when you go to them, your heart's already prepared, and God, and everything about you is all about reconciliation and grace. And they sense it. They can sense it because the nonverbal communication is huge. You know what I'm talking about, because I can come and I can stand here like this and my body language is telling you that I'm frustrated with you. But then I say all these nice words. You know, and I do that. I got my, you know, hand on my hip and I'm looking at him like this, and it's like, I can say all the right words, but my body is saying something completely different. It is. What does James tell us? He says, confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Yes. James goes on in the same chapter in verse 19 in James 5. He says, brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth, and he's speaking about believers here, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Even in believers, there can be death. The wages of sin is death, and that's true for a believer and an unbeliever. And I don't mean eternal death necessarily for the believer, but I'm talking about death. There's going to be a degradation. There's going to be something that's going to be destroyed, something that's decaying, and that is death. That's a process of death. Oh my goodness. Notice in verse 15, moreover, circle this word, if. Moreover, if your brother sins against you. And then there's a comma there, notice. And really, what a word that could be there is then. Have you heard of if-then statements? They're conditional statements. If you do this, then this may or may not occur. Computer programmers know it. If-then statements are all about computer programming, right? If you ask somebody to type in yes or no, just Y or N in the computer program, and they hit R, your program says if they touch any other key than Y or N, then display a message. Hey, get your mind together. Select Y or N, yes or no, not R. Right? It's a conditional statement. If your brother sins against you, then you go. There is the condition. If he does, then you go tell him his fault between you and him alone. And there's the first step. We're not going to get to the rest of this today because I'm way off script, and that's okay. So we'll pick this up again next week. But let me just finish a few things here. In the Bible, there are many conditional and unconditional statements that God gives, and this is a conditional statement. Conditional statements are those things that may or will occur if you would do a certain action. And they're usually identified by those statements that begin with if and statements later on that say then. An example is, and this is apropos for today, if the weather is nice, then we will have our baptism picnic. The condition, it's conditional. If the weather's nice, then we will have the picnic. Well, the weather was nice yesterday, and we still didn't, but we will in this next Saturday. But that's a conditional statement. The Bible is full of these kind of conditional statements. You know, God gave to God gave to Israel and to the church, that he would do certain things if they did their part. An example in the New Testament is Acts chapter 8. This is when the Ethiopian eunuch, who was on his way back home from Jerusalem from the Passover, and he is reading the book of Isaiah. He's sitting in his chariot reading a book of Isaiah, Isaiah 53. And Philip, God tells Philip, hey, do you see that guy over there? Go up and get in his chariot. So Philip does. And Philip sees him reading a scroll of Isaiah. What are you reading? Oh, the suffering servant, the one who would, you know, die for the sins of the people. And then Philip began to preach to him Christ. And at that moment, the man gives his heart to Christ. And notice what he says in verse 36 of Acts chapter 8. It says, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. After the man had been converted, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Do you see the condition? If you believe in Jesus Christ, then you may be baptized. And then the man replied back, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Right? The condition was met. If you believe, then you may be baptized. He says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, let's get you off this chariot and dunk you, brother. Let's get it done. And they did. But conditions, if he does, then go and tell him his fault between you. You initiate it. Don't blame it on them and say, well, I'm just going to wait for them to figure out. Figure it out. You're the one who offended me. You're the one who has to come to me. And see, we can get so prideful and we get on our high horse and we're like, no, it's not me. No, I'm the one that was hurt. You need to walk through glass on your knees. You need to earn my forgiveness. Rotten. You know, we get that ugly. Anybody been that ugly? I'll raise my hand. Okay, there's a bunch of liars in this room. Only kidding. Right, don't leave the church. See, I qualified my statement. I did it. All right. But you be the one to go out. And can we do that as a church? We'll have to finish this next week, but let's purpose this week to do a couple things. Number one, let's be careful about the things that we say. This tongue that's behind this gate of white pearly whites. It's there for a reason. Think about the words that you say. Be careful, husbands and wives, about how you speak to your wife. I need to learn this. Continue to learn this. We've been married almost 27 years, and I'm still learning this lesson daily. Any men, can you relate? Yeah. Yeah, we're all guilty. Yeah. We're learning, but let's really put it front and center, because really that's really important. Our words are very important. And then if somebody has something, if you know of somebody in your family, and I'm going to stop after this, if you know somebody, a friend, a family member, a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, a mother or a father who has left you or a mother who has left you, and you know that they've done something against you and they haven't spoken to you, but it hurt you, will you pray about this week? This week or next week, pray about it and go to that person and say, you know what? I've been harboring a grudge against you for years. And I just want to tell you, I want to ask you, this was the deal. This is what happened. This is what you said, and it hurt me. And is that true? Do you remember that? And if they say, yeah, I do remember that. And you know what? At the time, I did mean it. I was angry. But since then, isn't it true that sometimes time heals those wounds? And maybe that's the time when they would say, you know what, I did. I was angry with you. And But now you're here in front of me, and I just want to tell you I'm sorry. And you know what? The friendship, the relationship has been restored. Or maybe they're clueless. Maybe they don't even know that they hurt you. But now you can get it in the light. You can get it right. Get it right in the light. Get right in the light. And now you can go to them and say, Was there anything in this? Was I misunderstanding something? They say, yes, you know what? I had no idea. And hopefully they'll say, you know what? If that's what you thought I said, if that's what you thought I meant, for heaven's sakes, that's completely opposite. Because our words, oh my gosh, we are clever creatures. And boy, we can be great communicators and we can be also very poor at it. So would you pray about that? In fact, let's pray right now that God would heal, even in this room, relationships. And I can tell every one of us, there's someone in your family that this is true about. And pray about getting it right. Going to them. Doing what Jesus said. And there's a promise here, because if you do what he says, don't you worry about how they're going to respond. You make the initiative and let God bless you, because he's going to bless you. Even if they look at you and say, yes, I meant it and I don't want to see you again. Well, at least you know the answer. And maybe there's something that can be healed even there. But even if, like it says in Romans, if it's possible, live peaceably with all men. Well, sometimes it's just not possible. Sometimes the rift is so bad, there's nothing you can do. But will you, Christian, believer in Christ, will you take the initiative? And so let's pray and ask the Lord to give us the grace and the courage to do, to go where no man has gone before. To boldly go where no man has gone before. Yes, to go into that relationship and speak truth and light and life. Bring life into it and see what the Lord does. See what he does. You may be pleasantly surprised. And trust me, I believe, don't trust me, trust the word of God. I believe that for any of you who do that this week, the majority of you are going to come back with a smile on your face. But will you do it? Father, we just ask for your help in this, Lord. You know that there's still so much pride, Lord. I'm going to confess it first, because there is still so much pride in my heart that I'm not even aware of, Lord. And that is the truth. And it just takes the right circumstance, Lord, to bring it out, and I get offended. And we're all the same. Lord, I pray that you would give all of us, Lord, the maturity, the grace, the mercy, everything we need, Lord, to reconcile relationships in our sphere of influence, our family, our friends, whatever it is, Lord. Would you do that in us this week? And Lord, help us to put our words and the things that we say in the forefront of all of this. And Lord, help us, God. Just like David said, Lord, set a gate at my mouth that before my words even come out from behind my teeth, Lord, they've already been thought of. They've been smithed. That I've chosen the words wisely, that I've deliberately chosen to speak this. Lord, help us to do that and to do it with gentleness and care. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. Would you do a great healing in our fellowship and all the families represented here, Lord? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.